I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Chief Planning Committee of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority on Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. Could you call a roll, please?
Dr. Weisman?
Here.
Dr. Sweeney?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Mayor McQuarrie?
Thank you. We have a period set aside for public comment. Is there anyone in the public wishing to comment at this time? Appears not, so we can move forward to the next item, which would be the approval of minutes for the meeting of Strategic Planning Committee meeting of August 21st, 2013. Would I need to hear a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. And next item on the agenda is Executive Director. And you want to introduce today's topic?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. We have on our working list of topics for this committee, and I know you have been a vocal advocate for, you know, looking at how we can better align our business practices and even our construction priorities with the freight that is so important to the region's economy, but also to our system. And I think you'll find through today's presentation, you know, some background certainly on freight and the important customer position it has for us. We're hoping to get out of today's discussion some strategic direction from all of you in a couple of different areas, namely, you know, where we might see some opportunity for better accommodation of freight on our system, how we align some of our construction priorities and, you know, strategically look at construction standards to better accommodate freight and freight planning generally. They're such an important customer for us. It used to be 45% of our revenue before the toll increase. Now I think it's about 33% of our revenue. But a significant amount of our revenue, 12% to 15% of our traffic, but, you know, represents more of a higher percentage of our revenue. So, again, very important to us as an entity, but also to the region's economy. As we know, this area, being centrally located in the country, is a freight and logistics hub, and we want to make sure that we're growing to support that. So I will turn it over to Rocco to start the presentation, and I really hope, I think, at our last meeting, we had such a great dynamic discussion. What we're hoping for this time, too, is that you feel free to interrupt at any time, and I know you will, for questions or, you know, to just add some guidance for us that we can then take back and move on. So, Rocco?
All right, thank you. We'll jump right into things today. Kind of give you the overview of what we're doing, give you an overview of what's happening on the tollway. There's a lot of interesting stats that have been pulled out of this new reports I provided to you that came out of CMAP. They are also engaged in a lot of freight planning with part of the 2040 plan. Show you some of the economic trends that we're seeing in the freight industry. It's not just about freight, it's freight manufacturing and how those two industries are working together. I'll go back to some of the strategic advisory team guidance. I always look at my strategic advisory team report as this is kind of the playbook for where we need to be. We took a concerted effort and brought a lot of ideas and people together. So there's a lot of information in there that's you know, provides that long-term vision of where we need to be, and then really to have a lot of discussion about where we want to be in the freight planning process. I look at this as almost a kickoff to our a freight plan effort at the tollway. You know, there's a lot of different things that are happening right now. At different agencies, and I'd like to kind of have our own vision that takes into account what else is important to freight. As the director pointed out, you know, we always talk about how important freight is and where Chicago's role is in the freight industry. We always hear about how important rail is, and you know that this region has a long history with rail. We've got 6 of the 7 class one railroads that run through Chicago. That's a great thing from a freight perspective, but we could also boast that we have one of the most expansive highway systems that and more interstates than any other region in the country too that run right through this area with the I-55, 80, I-88, 90, 94, 294, 355. Seven interstates all converge literally right here in Chicago. So collectively between what happens in rail and the highway side, we do have more capacity than any other portions of the nation from a regional standpoint. I-90, as we've said before, it's the longest interstate in the United States, and I-80 carries the largest amount of commercial traffic, so those are great benefits for us. A couple interesting stats. About 50% of all intermodal freight movements in the nation flow through the region, and trucking of that accounts for about two-thirds, 66% of all freight. Obviously, we have O'Hare and Rockford International Airports. O'Hare is the second busiest international air cargo gateway in the entire country. And Rockford is actually in the top 20 in air cargo by weight. So those are, you know, critical things that happen along the I-90 corridor.
Rocco, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What were your two statistics under the first dot point? I-90 is the longest?
I-90 is the longest interstate. I believe it's 3,100 miles from uh-huh. Boston to Seattle. Uh-huh. And I-80 carries the most amount of commercial vehicle traffic okay. in the country. It's the nice straight direct shot mm-hmm. across the country. So those are... Again, I-80-294 is a main route for us, and we see the high commercial volumes on 294, the I-80-294 section. From a volume perspective, that is our highest stretch, a very high percentage as well.
Thank you.
And then I-90 being really I-90 connects the country. So we're very fortunate to have these things all right here within our system, and I think sometimes we haven't really looked at what does that mean. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I get to. You know, other stats between 25-33% of all tonnage originates here or terminates or passes through the region and the entire nation. A lot that happens right here in the Chicago metropolitan area. It's not just about freight either, it's about jobs. More than 25% of the region's jobs are directly related to freight. So that also is an impressive statistic as well. It's not just about moving cargo and dropping things off and sending it somewhere else. There's a significant amount of jobs in this entire region that are directly related to freight. And that comes out of some of the CMAP reports that they've been pulling together. As the director also pointed out, in 2012, we was looking at last year's statistics. Commercial vehicles accounted for about 12% of our of total traffic and about 33% of our revenue. It is a very much a critical part of our entire system. We're projecting that freight traffic and truck traffic is going to continue to increase over the next 30 years. That's a stat that comes out of our strategic advisory team report, and this is something also that we found out working with CMAP. It's about 270 million tons per year are carried on the tollway system. So we're very much an integral part of what happens.
What was the statistic on O'Hare's?
O'Hare is the second busiest international air cargo gateway by dollar amount in the entire country.
In the country.
So, and that's from an air cargo perspective. When you look at some of the other maps and statistics that I pulled together, you really see how O'Hare, there's so much that happens at O'Hare, the type of manufacturing that's taking place at O'Hare, why it makes sense with the different intermodals that are coming in and out of there. Interstates, intermodal facilities, you've got rail, it all happens truly right there. It's interesting to see some of those maps. But, let's not discount Rockford. Rockford is the other second international airport along the I-90 corridor, and that is top 20 in the entire country as well. They've got the big UPS facility that is now located out there. It's the big hub at Rockford, so, and that's pretty much right off of I-90 in the Rockford area. So there's, we've got a nice connection between the two of them. You can kind of see how the growth could happen in between the two airports.
So this is not maybe a fair question, but the 270 million tons represents approximately what proportion of the freight that...
I would call it a fair question that I don't have the answer to.
Okay. There's no reason you would. I'm just curious if we're the
biggest
carrier.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, just by ending, it goes I-80, it goes on 294, mm-hmm. right first. And
right.
57 and 90.
Right.
They all have to touch the tollway at one point coming off the border.
It's a high percentage. Right. Well, and it'd be interesting to look per lane, per mile, right? Because, of course, IDOT has thousands of miles of roads that they're responsible for. But, clearly the tollway, it was created as a truck bypass around Chicago. So we know that it's, its original intended purpose. It's become more than that. But We'll take a look. We'll figure out some way for us to have bragging rights.
Okay, good. That's
even if we're not legitimately the leader, we will figure out a way to claim something.
There we go. But it is a significant percentage. I don't want to give you, I've seen the stats, and it's pretty, it is staggering to say, wow, it's because of that. Everything comes yeah. through, somehow touches our system.
Good.
Yeah, it is. It's great for us. That works that way. So there's a lot of different things that are happening, again, on the freight front. We've been consulting many of the different sources over years. But what is very apparent in this region, there is no clear or unified vision or approach to what happens to freight. There's a lot of individual silos. Unfortunately, we've seen this in a lot of different respects, and a lot of different stakeholders engaged, but they all have varied plans. CMAQ is starting to pull some stuff together. We've looked at stuff with the U.S. DOT, National Freight Advisory Council, with some of their initiatives. IDOT has kicked off in December 2012. They completed a freight mobility plan for the entire state.
And did I hear they're setting up a division?
That is there's a regional task force. That's actually, there's a meeting that is happening on Friday. CMAP is taking some lead on that. Yes, IDOT has got the Freight Advisory Council that we're part of. That you know, Kevin Donahue at the end of the table jumps on different calls. And that really looks at statewide freight. It's not just about what happens on with as far as trucks. It really looks at rail. So. Again, that's the much bigger statewide vision of freight. And it was really instigated through a T21. It made each state have a freight mobility plan. As I said, that the CMAP is pulling together some leadership task force on looking at maybe regional authority. They've done a lot of research to date. They've really helped define what the problems and issues are. Cook County is now kicking off a new freight plan. And Cook County, we want to make sure we're aligned with Cook County and their freight. And we've also met a lot with our industry partners, Illinois Trucking Association, Midwest Truckers Association, to kind of get a sense of where they are.
One other thing, what's not on here is the CREATE plan, which is the rail
plan. And CREATE is actually part of the overall state advisory,
okay.
Freight mobility plan for the
That's
state.
How it fits in.
CREATE is embedded in every one of these things, except the USDOT National Freight Advisory Council.
Okay.
So CREATE is very much a part of what's happening.
But the group and the platform, and this is before my time in certainly transportation side of government, the platform that the CREATE program was created under was under IDOT's program? I mean, how did the convening entity to bring together the rail and
it
transportation?
It was created under the IDOT umbrella, but it really was the private entities who partnered with the
right.
state, who said, we have a problem in this, and finally they decided, let's figure out a way to put some of this private money into both state and federal to lobby for a unified vision. And that's, again, has helped tremendously when you have that. Here's the vision of what we want to do. We've got the different agencies all asking for one thing. Obviously, we've been very successful from the state side funding, but then also from the federal side, too. The biggest awards that we've seen from the Tiger program have all been towards CREATE. But it was initiated, it was led by IDOT, but I believe it was initiated by the private industry who said, we need to figure this out.
Because I'm just thinking in terms of...
Private industries, because it was the 7 railroad or 6 railroad.
Just thinking in terms of, I won't call it competition, but who else is thinking about this? That obviously is they care about the same thing that we care about, but they want it in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's opportunities. There's competition, but it's opportunities for all. When you see where the intermodals are located, they are located next to interstates. They're located near the airports. So that's great that you get your rail shipment here,
uh-huh.
but now you needed to get it into the supply chain or to the distribution chain. So there's...
I knew you'd have an upside.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's what, again, seeing some of the research that is, there's obviously competition. So we've been talking to a lot of people. This is just kind of getting a sense of where we see some of our greatest amount of truck volume on the system. No surprise, and this is by toll plaza, this is the tri-state. You see all the way up north at the Waukegan Toll Plaza, the border entry there, same thing down south at I-294, where I-294 and I-80 interface. Way out west in Dixon and DeKalb are high traffic volumes. So basically, this is my toll plaza. But what I think is more telling is where this is the a valley called the equivalent single axle load. It's basically looking at the volume and weight of freight and commercial traffic on our system, and these are really some of the highest areas. Again, not surprising, the central tri-state, that little piece that runs east-west down at the end of the south tri-state, that's I-82-94, high volumes through there. This stretch in Winnebago County, north of Rockford, is our highest percentage of commercial vehicle traffic on our entire system. It may not be the highest in raw numbers, but from a percent of mix of traffic, it is definitely our highest, up in the 30% range. The south tri-state is in the 20% range of percentage of traffic.
But tonnage has to be highest in that stretch between the Indiana border and 80, right?
That would be, we don't know for sure. There's a lot we don't know, but yeah, I would assume that would be the highest area through there.
When we looked at our pavement design, to do our pavement design for that I-90 corridor, we looked at kind of truck volume, right? And the average size. And what we found, I think, was interesting, if I recall, in that the trucks on our system tend to be slightly heavier, right, larger, however you want to describe it, than what is thought to be kind of the standard traveling on the interstate system in the country.
Yeah, I think, so we had some data, and it was showing like a lot of trucks were not traveling fully loaded. However, if they were on the tollway, they were fully loaded. So it's like they recognize, you know, they're paying to travel on our system, and it's worth it for them to travel on our system, but they make sure that they get their they're hauling, you know, the full amount that they can.
The stat that was asked in the last FAO committee was it's the common known stat, if it's a fully loaded large trailer, it's one vehicle does one truck does the same damage as 10,000 vehicles. That's assuming fully loaded. What I think we found nationally, or you know, statewide, it's these trucks are only carrying 40,000 pounds, so half the load, so they're doing 4,000 times the damage of a single vehicle.
I've got to assume in our region, because of the intermodal yards, you find a lot of the intermodal containers overweight. If you look at the Village Elwood, they're sitting out there bringing in $3 to $4 million a year in tickets on overweights just coming out of those yards. And I think 90% of that is containers. You've got a high percent of container traffic in our area, and it's notoriously overweight.
That was one of the Director Peterson asked about our weigh in motion systems that we have on this, implemented on the tollway. There's five of them, and it is one of the only Illinois State Police ticket that our District 15 issues that comes back to us directly.
Revenue.
Yeah, the revenue from those tickets comes back directly to us.
So they know the way they're truck traveling on us.
When our system is fully functioning and operating, yes, we have the ability to track weights of individual vehicles 24 hours.
Where we have the weigh-in motion.
Yes. And we have them kind of located at the entry points into our system. So we have one down on this I-80 section. We have one up on I-90 at the north end.
Do you find them container traffic trying to bypass the system then?
They get a lot of interesting information about like what times overweight vehicles might be on our system, and we coordinate closely with District 15 so that they can set up enforcement details.
They have the ability, if they stop a truck, to weigh it at that time, right?
They have to do that. I believe the weigh in motion system gives us the information, and we actually have them set up so that a state trooper can sit there and monitor as the vehicles go by. But then we also have enforcement areas where they will put down the scales that are certified and registered that they need to actually use on the in writing the tickets.
So the weigh in motion gives you an indication, but you have to verify it.
Right, so then, you know, you're not forcing all the vehicles to get pulled over, but you can target. Just the way I understand it.
Should we take something from your opening clause that when it's fully operating? Does that mean it's not?
Yeah, well, we're working through some of the issues, and we've experienced, you know, different behavioral things with them. we like the idea of it. We like the idea of being able to monitor our system and protect it against these overweight vehicles. You know, when it's working, it's really good.
Okay. But the answer to the question is sometimes they don't work.
Yeah, the technology I think is evolving. I think we're getting better technology now that we're going to hope is going to. I can ask John. John is a lot closer to it.
Yeah, the only two technologies we're using, one is piezo ports and the other is bending plate. Bending plate was the first one that was installed down on 355, and in the first 48 hours of operation after we certified the sensors, we pulled over several scrap haulers and made $25,000 in fines. What we did, we've got five locations. We planned originally to have 12. We've scaled back our deployment right now while we work out the bugs on how frequently you have to recertify. And unfortunately, it's relatively new technology. The bending plate seems to be far more superior in terms of overall performance than the piezo ports. And I don't pretend to understand the technical, but.
I think you've already surpassed all of our tech.
But you have
knowledge.
One's a little rod that you just put in the pavement and it actually senses the weight.
In layman's terms, it sounds like one technology seems to be performing better than the other.
Yeah, and unfortunately we have four of the one and one of the other, and we're trying to figure out what the right recycling and recalibration is. So when Paul says that we've had some difficulties, this year is when we experienced some problems and identified what the problem was, got the manufacturer back out, now we're resetting up our calibration schedules.
And it is holding us back from putting them everywhere. But otherwise, we really like this.
The idea you like, not the execution.
It's not perfected yet, but I think it can be.
Do you design portions of the system differently than others because of that truck traffic, for instance, that stretch from B&M border to 80, a lot of that's elevated. Is there a different approach you take to that?
What an excellent question.
Yes, that is. We raised the bar on 990 because we're trying to build a 21st century corridor. So recognizing, you know, how important it is to freight, and then also the need for the economy, you know, if more freight happens, the economy does better, and we're all hoping that's going to be the case. So we designed the pavement on I-90 for 120,000-pound loads. We are not allowing 120,000-pound loads on the system. It's not costing us that much more money if you do it up front. And if nothing else happens, it will allow our investment to last longer.
So I think one of the strategic questions today is, you know, taking that standard and looking other places as we're rebuilding. You know, you don't go back and tear something out that's in fine shape now, but just as we rebuild or as we put in additional capacity, where should we be looking at, you know, maybe being a little bit more aggressive or accommodating a higher design standard?
Well, it was gonna, I asked the question lead to another question would be that, you know, and I don't know legally the authority the tollway has, but if we design at a higher level and we can accept higher tonnages, is there a way for us as an authority to entice trucking?
Mm-hmm.
To say, listen, we'll allow a higher tonnage. We'll allow, for instance, the thing you always hear about, which wouldn't do them a lot of good really, except because we don't, you know, I guess maybe with 88, but would be the triples or the tonnage.
Mm-hmm. I think it really... That's really a good question for us to resolve on Elgin O'Hare and also on the Central Tri-State, because those are, you know, Elgin O'Hare is going to be a new road, and then Central Tri is later in the program. It's going to get rebuilt, and you see that there's a big circle around the Central Tri on the map, so it's obviously attractive to freight right now.
Are we going to discuss kind of how those weight limits are set and who has the authority?
We could cover some of that.
That was the discussion we had
yesterday. Right, and there is a minimum weight threshold that is set by the federal government. It's 80,000 pounds. There are a couple states, I believe it's Vermont and Maine, who now have it set at 100,000 pounds. There is some ability of the locals to make some of their own decisions on weight limits. The issue that, and when we started having some discussions about thresholds on weights, it's not just what happens on our system. At some point in time, that truck has to leave our system, and it's going to go drive on either a county road or state road that is not designed to handle that additional weight. So that becomes the local problem. That's great, you can connect from one point to another, but if you have no way to transfer your load within that system, you're stuck driving from A to B.
We have the ability, or would we have to work with the Illinois Department of Transportation or some other entity to increase weight just on our system? Because then, although you're right, county or other roads, but you know, in theory, then does an intermodal come in and get a direct access ramp just onto the Illinois Tollway system or something like that? So if that's, you know, an interesting.
Yeah, we'll do some research on that one. I mean, that's really what we want to get. Is this where the direction we want to go? And that's what we can look at, is what mechanism has to take place legislatively or otherwise to allow it, and what the liabilities might be on increasing that. So certainly on that. I'll show you some other stats I thought were interesting. And you know, you talked about freight and some of the trends in the freight industry. This is a map that was created by CMAP. We would love to have gotten everything or pull the information from west of here all the way out to Rockford, but with the federal shutdown right now, you cannot access any U.S. Census Bureau data. So we were limited to the data that we had really from CMAP on the Chicago region. So this is information that was pulled out of U.S. Census. It shows where the employment is by zip code.
And this is actuals versus projections?
These are actuals, right? Okay. The census is always about actuals.
I just wasn't sure if it went through a CMAP filter and became a projection.
No, these are the actual employment numbers by zip code.
Okay, thank you.
For the entire region. You get, there's, you know, things that just jump right out at you right now. It's really everything narrow here. Airport, obviously, you can see that pretty, the dark green in the middle. This is basically everything from O'Hare Airport all the way out to pretty much Schaumburg. You're talking about communities of Elk Grove, Wooddale, Rolling Meadows, Des Plaines, all served along the tollway system. This CMAP work also looked at clusters of manufacturing, what type of freight is being moved. I think this is really interesting too, is where they did more of a drill down to look at the nexus between freight and manufacturing to get maybe a better understanding of how freight uses our system. You may or may not be able to see it. Well, actually, you could probably see it better on the screen. It looks like everything near O'Hare Airport is about fabricated metals. You've got a big industry cluster there of fabricated metals. These are not the raw materials that come that haven't been touched. These are the pieces that are used for a final product later. So maybe it's a door or a handle or some piece that is, you know, sent on somewhere else in the supply chain. I think what we're seeing here too, and it was referenced a lot in some of these reports, is this just-in-time form of manufacturing, which relies on low inventory, reliable delivery schedules. So you kind of see some of the clusters around O'Hare Airport. You will also see some other clusters down on the South Tri-State, and this is more of the primary metal. So this is the raw materials that are actually coming in. You see right around 294.57, just south of I-80. But you also pick up on the yellow and red dots on the screen. Those are where you have your intermodal facilities or container yards. So you really start to see there's some clear clusters of both freight and employment that jump out at you. You know, you can see our tollway system and the lighter orange color. I'm going to jump a few things. So, you know, looking at some of this, we've also taking some of the recommendations that came out of the strategic advisory team, a few things that were specifically called out here is how we should look at maximizing our existing assets, stimulate the economy, using technology. I think that's something that we've done a lot more of, using technology, but maybe there's opportunities for us to look at different ways to use technology and sharing that information to move commerce more efficiently. Other collaborative and innovative solutions. Land use planning. So this kind of gets back to what I was saying about the 120,000 pounds. It's great that we could do something, but if you don't have a true regional approach, it really doesn't help if you have very land use plans along the roadway. And there's also opportunities to look at some of the underutilized land along some of these corridors to see, is there a way to better align land use with the type of movements along there, whether it be rail or a roadway, and then also opportunities that were called out to try to enhance some of the trucker service. So given all of some of these recommendations that we received from the strategic advisory team, let me go back to this. slide, and try to, you know, lay out what I put on here in the darker shade is the Moving Illinois Capital Program projects. There's a lot of things that we're doing. I think there's, you know, as we talked about, maybe where we want to think from a vision standpoint, obviously the Central Tri-State, that carries a lot of our commercial traffic. We're going to be doing some work out in the Central Tri-State in an early 2020 time frame. But then also, really, Elgin O'Hare. Maybe it makes us pause and look at what can and should we think about with the Elgin O'Hare corridor itself. You can see that it's smack dab in the middle of a lot of freight, a lot of manufacturing, a lot of clusters there. So maybe this really makes us think how we want to apply some different policies along that corridor to really help move some of that freight. I think what may be happening on the Elgin O'Hare, and again, there's a lot we don't know, and that's the goal, is to find out, to learn some of the things that, that just make us ask some questions. How and why are some of these trucks using this facility? How are they using it in the future? Are these long distance hauls? Are they short hauls that are taking things from one side to another manufacturing facility for a final product and distribution out? Are they taking things off of a container and moving it out to a yard? We just don't know a lot about who is on our system. But you can see, I think, you know, our Moving Illinois projects are well aligned with what's happening. This is all really part of the strategic advisory team work. They're well aligned with where freight is moving and with the intermodals as well. But I think, again, there's more opportunities for us to think a little bit more creatively.
Robert, what is a freight drivetrain signal?
Actually, I'll tell you in a second what that one is. Those, I believe, are more from the for vehicle manufacturing.
So actually, drivetrain as a
like a vehicle drivetrain.
Yeah. For, you know, because you do have down on this side, south side of the city, you do have the auto plants down that way.
Yeah, you've got that.
So it's auto manufacturing.
Like the Ford
Stampede plant.
And Ford is, yeah, down a little further to the east.
That's down here at 57 in the blue, but the yellow is in the city, along 55.
And these, again, are, it's not necessarily final product that the plant itself, they're making the vehicle. But to make the vehicle, they need a lot of different types of materials.
Components.
You need whatever it is that goes into the vehicle construction itself.
That would be Cicero then, or
right, that's what that would look like. Cicero. And then, yeah, and also I think it's interesting through there, you see it as you drive on along 290, the food. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of the food suppliers there along 290 and then also along I-55. What this was, you know, something that was done through what you see on this is what CMAP did is really trying to figure out where these clusters are. Again, to figure out more about who the users are and how is the system being used to understand what's the freight manufacturing nexus, how...
Again, we don't have any numbers for like the Rockford area, those areas out there?
We don't have that right now, right? You know, CMAP's really focused on this right now. Rockford, not so much, and we could get any of the census data to put some of these, to drill down more into this. But this is definitely information we'd like to learn more about. Who are the people that are using our system and how can we make it more efficient for them? So some of the things that we are doing already to service the freight industry, we're obviously providing safer roadways. We've made accommodations for the 120,000-pound loading on I-90s. That's something we need to consider more. We've got overnight discounts that were put into place several years back. It's still in place right now for commercial vehicles. What we found is that there's overnight discounts are fine, but unless the local manufacturer, whoever's receiving the goods, if they don't change their schedule, it really doesn't do anything for overnight discounts. They still have to deliver their materials when people are actually working. So then it hasn't done too much to move the needle on freight. We've got our interchange policy that we've adopted earlier this year, maybe it was late last year, with more freight considerations. Really trying to align our interchanges and considerations for new interchanges and funding for new interchanges with commercial vehicle routes. We found, and actually this is some work that was done by Metropolis 2020 back in the day, that what they realized is that you've got a lot of commercial truck routes that interface with the interstate, but there was no access between them. And so it was a long, circuitous route to get from your truck route onto the interstate system or vice versa. So we're trying to align our policy to there. John Benda does a lot of work with this Great Lakes and the regional coordination. It's not just about what happens here in Illinois. It's about basically that truck crossing the national border from Canada into the United States and how to get around the lake and into where they need to be, giving them as much information as possible. So we're much more tied with that. And we started some work with commercial vehicle parking. I know this is one area that...
Rocco, I'm sorry, before you leave that slide, is there any example, any place in the world you know where if the discount is deep enough but it changes the behavior of whoever's receiving the goods? Am I asking a question right?
And what we've been trying to do, and I do reach out to a lot of these communities, and most recently to Hoffman Estates, because they're considering an interchange at Interstate 90 Barrington Road, to find out... is there, and one of the recommendations from this, so I don't know about the nationally, mm-hmm. What we've tried to do is find out is there a willingness on a local standpoint, this came out of the strategic advisory team, to change some of those policies. And what was suggested through the strategic advisory team was a possibility of a pilot program to see if it does maybe change some of the behavior.
Do you have local municipalities that have restrictions on night deliveries
yes.
as well?
There are. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's what you're referring to. So one of the things that came out of that strategic advisory team, those meetings from the trucking community was discounts are great and mm-hmm. To some extent may incentivize certain behavior, but if you can't deliver during certain time frames, it won't make any difference. They'll pay the extra to meet their delivery time frame. So
that's the local mayors.
Right. The real problem. Okay. That's good to know.
And it really depends how the system is being used.
Let's do identify the blame.
Right. If these are short hauls, if it's just about the just-in-time delivery system, they have to be there at a certain time to drop that material off. So
right.
It's not just about receiving it, moving it on, or doing whatever you have to do from the manufacturing perspective. So if it's a long haul, maybe that would shift behavior. If you're going through the state of Illinois, you're through this entire area, maybe you might have more of an opportunity. So that's what we're trying to figure out, in particular now with the Village of Hoffman Estates. I want to learn more, what restrictions do they have? What we have found out is definitely anywhere where there's a residential area, there are restrictions. And that a lot of those restrictions are clearly tied to, and Mayor Aurora could speak to this, the Jewel, the Dominic's, the food distribution end, where you do have the backs of these grocery stores that are facing residential areas. Those we've seen pretty much across the board, those are restricted delivery times. But those are a lot of trucks too. But that was recommended to the strategic advisory teams. Let's look for maybe some pilots to see if we can shift the behaviors.
But have we looked at other discount models
I haven't,
around
to be honest
the country?
With you. That would be something excellent to start digging into. Is there something that's out there?
Because that is within our control, right? Mm-hmm. There's a limited amount of influence that we might have over being able to change local zoning codes or
Well, as you walk through Elk Grove Village, I'm going to assume that's a little bit friendlier towards manufacturers and delivery.
Oh, Elk Grove?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, when you've got these big industrial areas, that would make sense for that.
But as we're thinking about Elgin O'Hare, that's not an inconsequential question to have an answer to.
You're right, because there, whether you could create an incentive to get that freight moving in and out of that corridor at off-peak commuter times.
So you don't have the competition between the passenger vehicles during commuting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll take a look at that. Nationally and internationally.
Right. And then we also have to look at what does that mean for the Elgin O'Hare? Because who are the people who are going to use it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, so that's great that there's national examples, but
do
they apply here? So, yeah, that's definitely something that we can and should start looking at. One of the things that we've always talked about is the possibility of truck parking, expansion of truck parking. We've looked at ways to expand truck parking within our park and the very blurriness of this one. But just gives you some example of what we tried to do. Strategic advisory.
So this is a toll plaza.
This is a toll plaza. Oh. This was definitely a unique design. We've always looked at it from the, we already have parking lots at the Oases, and maybe we can